Why is my internet not working?
Why have I got so much water in here? This is surely Zane's.
No, no. Salamullah al-Hussein. I topped it up.
Oh, Habibi. Nah, bro. Do you know what it is, yeah? Sometimes I'm thinking there's so many podcasts that start without an intro.
Okay.
And we're always like, Salamu alaikum, welcome back down. Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Very formal. So maybe we got to shake it up a bit. Salt and pepper.
So you want us to ignore the salams to our viewers?
Salams to the viewers. Yeah, whenever we intro, we'll get a salam to you. Salam says.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah. But I think the most important salam is salam ya Mahdi.
Salam ya Mahdi. You know, someone
ya
told me.
Ya Sayyidi Ajil.
Someone told me, they said, you guys are too religious on the podcast.
What do they want us to do?
And if, for example, yeah, someone says like something like, I'm going to give an example, yeah.
Go on.
So someone says something like, oh, bro, I fell over today at the gym. Oh, bro, astaghfirullah, ya Allah, are you okay? May Allah hasten your recovery and all. Do you get that? Like, that's how people. That's how people. That's how someone told me.
The reappearance
of
our waiting savior.
But I hope that's not how we come across. Inshallah.
You do, 100% you do.
We do, yeah.
But that's how we are naturally.
Ali is like that.
That's naturally. How Sayyid Ali is.
But allow it, man.
Definitely Ahmed as well.
Yeah, I hope so.
Half the time, I feel like I'm singing a house lecture.
Nowhere close, nowhere near.
Yeah.
Nowhere near.
Yeah, but at certain times, you've got to be in it. Like when you've got ulama on, or it's a holy occasion, yeah, you have to have that. But then there are days like, for example, today, we're just a few days before Shahr Ramadan.
Yeah, but it's not like an act that you put on, do you understand?
Yeah, but there's times where you're guarded in the way you speak, and there's times where you're more comfortable.
Yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
When I'm with you alone, speaking, there's more like fluid, it's easier to talk. But when we've got guests on, we're not guarded, but we're more conscious.
We're guarded by Allah.
Yeah, there you go, bro.
This is a classic example.
Bro, you went to high school at Hausa.
Huh?
Did you go high school or Hausa?
I graduated in Rasul Adam.
MashaAllah. There you go. Got your answer.
Imam Ali Academy of Paddington.
The best universities. Our pulpit was the minbar of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
Oh my days.
I would not swap that for anything else.
No, I agree with you. It's just like, you know, like
the head teacher was Haji Radhi.
Haji Radhi.
Yeah.
But Sayyid, you gotta imagine, like, your viewers are like a random brand in Texas who's never been to Hussein in his life. He doesn't know half the stuff you're talking about.
He doesn't
about.
Know who Haji Rani is.
Yalla, inshallah, he does hopefully end up going to Husseinia or Imam Barga.
Yeah. He goes to St. John's Catholic School and he's got all white bears around him.
Yeah.
The problem is, if he's not listening, then he might become Catholic.
Why? Yeah, that's a fair point.
Man's giving him the experience that he deserves.
Anyways, just to let you know, Ahmed, I know it's, oh my God, it's past midnight, by the way. So it's definitely after Maghrib.
Yeah.
In reality, it's after midnight as well. I've ordered food. And there's delivery on the way. So what do we do?
We chat.
Should we chat? Yalla.
Let's talk. So Ramadan's, what, 3 days away. What is your... what's your goals this year? Have you thought about it yet?
If you want me to be real with you, I haven't really given it much thought.
Okay, so let's do that. Let's dissect it in complete depth. Okay? Shout out.
San ones.
Yeah.
I think realistically for me... I don't like being put on the spot, but I would say I definitely want to. I'm not saying it because when an Islamic environment before Sayyid Mushtaba headbutts me, but I genuinely want to get closer to Allah by understanding everything that I utter. And I mean that because since last year, you know, subhanAllah, since the After Maghrib podcast, okay? Since last Ramadan, when we had such amazing conversations with such beautiful guests, I truly fell in love with God.
Yeah.
Wallahi al-Azim, I fell in love with God. And every time I would speak and I would say, yeah, we need to, you know, understand what we're saying. We shouldn't just, for example, recite Quran and dua like parrots.
Yeah.
That makes me, when I go home, sort of think,
Am I doing that? You ask yourself.
If I'm telling the world to do this,
yes,
and I want myself to do this, inshallah, I should actually be doing this. It's very easy to say something, and it's easy to say words.
Can I ask a question?
But without no action.
Do you have any guilt not guilt, but like, because I get that, I'll be honest, I feel guilt sometimes, you know, when we go into those conversations and we're talking about the way, oh, we should do this and we should do that, and then obviously I come home and I'm thinking, am I doing it myself? And I told someone about it, like someone close to me, and they said to me, that's a good thing. If you've got that, don't worry about it, because it means that you're conscious about the standards that you set yourself. Do you know what I mean?
Of course, because you don't want to be a hypocrite.
Yeah,
you know, being a munafiq,
no one wants to
is
be
something no one wants to be. And you know, it's easy, like, hey, you're telling me, do I feel guilty? I don't think I do feel guilty, but I feel conscious
is the right
of the
word,
fact
yeah.
that I should, I'm not going to say I preach,
yeah,
but practice what you preach.
And being worthy of being able to speak to people.
And the other thing is, yani I see it this way, you know, yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me, I would say, wallah al-azim, with
good looks.
A global community.
Yeah.
I get looks, all this gray hair. A global community yeah, where people, I'm not worthy of this praise, but somehow they sort of look up to me. I'm being genuine here, yeah? I should hold myself to a high standard to make sure that if people say this about me, that's true about me.
Yeah.
Not because they're saying it, because that's the energy I've given them. Mm. Yeah, if I'm giving them one thing and I'm doing something else.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
That falls under the category of hypocrisy.
Yeah, I like that. That's true. Yeah. So your goal, your primary goal is to act in accordance to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's yes, said, but right? This Ramadan, I want to understand everything that I'm saying, okay? And I truly mean that. And to prove the point here, okay? So I, alhamdulillah, have the opportunity to, at times, put my girls to sleep.
Yeah.
Now, some parents can, I don't know, read bedtime stories. Some parents, I don't know, sing some random lullabies, whatever it is. However, in the last 10 days, I would say, as of today, in the last 10 days, why I say 10 days? Because Dua'a Joshua al-Kabir has what? 100
chapters
yeah. we can say, to the dua. When it comes to bedtime, I've decided that when they go to sleep, I am reciting 10 chapters a day.
Oof. Oh, of Dua'a Joshua.
Of Dua'a Joshua.
So today
yeah.
you finished.
And wallah al-azim, it's made me understand, you know, God is the King of Kings.
Yeah.
I'm not joking.
Yeah, the titles. Yeah.
Everything, it's about Allah, strictly about God.
Yeah,
you can't divert, there's no diversion, it's just you, Allah, and the moment you understand the words, wallah, it feels so sweet on the yeah, tongue yeah. and wallah opens the
you
heart.
You know, some of the du'as we talk about,
mm.
they are so underappreciated. Du'a mashlul, du'a yeah. mujir, du'a yastashir. These are du'as, three du'as that I love, but which are not like highly appreciated. Dua Mashlul, Dua Mujir, and Dua Yastashir. The three du'as, I think they are so powerful. And there's so many du'as out there, which we don't really take, you know, much heed of. But yeah, I completely agree.
There is a lot, and I have a feeling Mushtaba's already recording this podcast. So yeah. forget this whole intro thing. But I do want to say the food has arrived.
Oh,
Sayyid Mushtaba, we'll continue talking. Leave the camera on wide.
Bring the munch.
Bring the ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go.
I say bring the munch, my says bring the ni'mah.
Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala.
There's no code, but he's calling me. Let me tell him. Hello, brother. Yeah, we're coming outside to get the food. Thank you.
This is part way, says may Allah bless you and your family.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay. So this was brother, I can't pronounce his name, but as a driver who's delivering us.
I told the audience.
Food.
I said, this is the part where Sayyid Ali says to the driver, may Allah bless you and your family.
Honest to God.
Yeah, man.
Honest to God.
Man's bringing us food, alhamdulillah.
100%.
What was I going to say? All right, so cool. I like that. So that's your goal.
And okay,
I think
enough of me.
I think
you.
No, I think I'm going to try and take that on as part of my goal. So I'm going to copy your answers in this exam today. No, I'm joking. So, well, I'm not joking because I think that's a really good point. I've got a few goals this Ramadan. So the way I kind of work as a human being is I compartmentalize a lot, probably too much for my own good. So I separate my work from my family, from my social and from my spiritual, which is bad to a degree, but at times it helps me run my daily life. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So I think of things that way. Do you know what I mean? So for example, when it comes to Shahr Ramadan, I will have like a spiritual goal.
Yep.
And they'll have like a social goal and so on and so forth, a work goal. So for example, with my work, for me, it's about making my peak performance. during Ramadan, like reaching my peak level of performance, which is hard. Every Ramadan I struggle. I have to take naps in the car or whatever, especially the first few days. But I think my personal goal.
Did you say you have naps in the car?
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Yeah, bro.
I've never done that.
Pray Dhuhr, go to the car.
That reminds me of uni.
20-minute nap.
Break time. I used to go in my car and take a nap.
Yeah, but were you fasting?
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, during Ramadan. Yeah, because
I can never nap.
I tried to do it in the prayer room a couple of times, but
I can only nap if I'm in Iraq.
My office and is very high intensity, so we come in very early and the phones are ringing. We get phone calls pretty much once a minute. Okay,
making
and so
a killing,
we send.
Mashallah.
Yeah, man, 300 emails a day. 300, it's crazy.
313 emails.
This guy, mashallah, everything is Quran Ahlul Bayt, as it should be.
They are everything.
Yeah, man, they are everything, and everything is that. What is the wujud?
I'm joking. I'm not sure where you're going.
I'm saying so, bro, because it's so high pressure. Like in Ramadan, I usually take a break, but I want to make sure I can work properly. Outside of that, like with family, I really want. I love the family environment in Ramadan. Wallah, I absolutely love it. But I wanna lead my family as a father this year. I wanna lead my family. Do you know what I mean? I'm consciously thinking about that.
Lead them spiritually?
Yeah, spiritually. Yeah. And obviously in the environment of the home. You know, the home should look good, smell good, feel good. There should be a positive aura in your house. In your house, basically, people walk in, or even if no one's coming over, but like you come home and everything's. Is looking good, everyone's in good spirits, and leading salah jama'ah. And I used to just pray with my wife, and now I have a son, alhamdulillah, who's a couple years old, and he likes to pray with us. He's got his little sajada.
Amazing.
And he joins us, so he's now that age where I want to include
him. My god, you know, speaking of my little children, I remember I think just over 2 years ago, both my kids, if I pray, they'll climb onto me.
Yeah,
but wallah, is one of the most blessed feelings one can ever have. I don't know. Sometimes people say, no, it's a distraction. No, I think it's part of that bond that you have with Allah, your salah, and your kids. Because, you know, when you pray as a parent, when your children see you, they'll grow up also loving to pray. And then sometimes, you know, we find, I'm not saying this guy prays like this guy prays like that, but sometimes we find people as they grow up, teenage years, and then they grow older, late teens, early adulthood, things like this, the way they treat salah is just like routine.
Yeah.
But then sometimes you find those, trust me, I've seen this, you find those who know they treat it as if it's the center of their world.
Yes, yeah.
And there's a reason behind it, because they see their mum and their father make salah their priority in life.
We all fall into this trap where some namaz that you pray are not like full focus, full intention, not on time sometimes. And that's okay, because we're human and we make errors. But the idea being is that there's a road to improvement and that we're on that road.
Do you have a specific salah that you prefer?
Fajr, I got asked this question. I had the same answer as Muhammad Ali, which is Dhuhr for me.
Ajib.
Yeah, I know. And you'd say that. No, like on a weekend, it's Maghrib. I love Maghrib. Maghrib Isha together.
Okay.
Because it's the most peaceful, because you know, for me at work or during the, you know, during weekdays, Dhuhr, you're chilling in the office, whatever, you're by, for like I'll pray in a separate meeting room or whatever, so I like that, the privacy, the space, the time. But on the weekend, it's probably the evening prayer. And also in Ramadan especially, and I'm looking forward to it, inshallah, this year, is the Salat al-Fajr. I love it. And Shahr Ramadan especially, because usually you're awake prior to Fajr. I'm sure we should all, inshallah, get to the Salatul Layl habit. But when you're awake prior, you're finishing your suhoor, all of that, and you're winding down, your body's preparing for the next day, and you do your wudu, and you make the niyyah, and we should all do that. Like, I grew up in a house where my grandmother, may Allah preserve her, like, I love her to bits, but she would make it, like, rigid. Every single night, before you start the next fast, you tell me, make your niyyah for the forthcoming fast. Make it known. Make your niyyah like pure and like solid. Because when you make that niyyah, the next day will be easier. And even if it's harder, it's sincere. Like you're doing it with sincerity. Do you know what I mean?
And it's good you have the intention, by the way. I remember growing up, we used to fast when I was young. We used to call something Som al Asafir. So I don't know, maybe pure. Arabs or so it's a fast where it's not a full fast when you're very young.
Oh, yeah, we call it faqa.
So we used to fast, well, I used to fast until the school ends. So I would only like eat or drink something once I get home after school. And that would be like 3:30 or something.
Yeah.
But food will be ready for me when I'm home. And like my parents would encourage me fasting in that way. And I think that sort of trains you.
Builds you up.
And builds you up. I'm not sure why I went into that conversation. What were you saying? Sorry.
No, I was talking about making the niyyah.
Oh, the niyyah. I was going to say, yeah. So from a young age, I was even told then that I should make the intention.
Yeah.
Because sometimes there are brothers and sisters who are fasting today without any intention. And you know, fast, there has to be a niyyah.
Yeah.
So
that's with everything, isn't it?
Yes.
And with your prayers, your fasting. And I saw a clip, I shared it a few days ago from on the Art of Maqla page from Sayyid Asad Jafri, marhum, obviously passed away a few months ago. And he talked about finding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything you do. Obviously, we always talk about the Amir al-Mu'mineen hadith of before, during, and after every action.
Yes.
But truly, in everything we do, finding God. Yeah, so even if it's saying Bismillah before you start your meal and thinking of this is barakah from God. Or for example, you're going to the office or you're going to university or school or you're putting your kids to sleep, like you said, and making that action, which is routine, making it God-centric is perfect. And if there's a time you do it, it's now. Like we've tried to build ourselves up for this. This is crunch time, bro. Like Shahr Ramadan, you know, you say you plant the seed in Rajab, you water it, and then you let the what you've, you reap what you sow, basically, in Ramadan. So if we have done a decent job, Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan will be easy for us. And if even if we haven't done our best, then Ramadan will be still there for the taking. Like, it's not too late. We have a whole month, inshallah, to come where we can write our destiny.
I love how you mentioned Imam Ali in that.
Yeah.
As you said your point, because it's so true. And for us to understand what the one born in the Kaaba meant by I was victorious by the Lord of the Kaaba, this is the month to understand that.
Yeah.
And as Shia, as lovers of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam, we should, I think, take Ramadan to the next level.
Yeah.
Honestly, spiritually, we need to reach our peak in this month because Ramadan is not any normal month. Ramadan, Habibi, is the month of Allah.
Yeah.
Ramadan, you know, is the month of our creator, the one who created us. And I think we need to acknowledge and understand this. And also to understand that Ramadan is more than us just trying to build a relationship with God. No, it's coming back to God.
Yeah.
Because I genuinely believe there are millions and millions of Muslims out there who are practicing, yet struggle, who want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at times feel like they're lacking that spark that connects them back to God. And this is the month.
Yeah.
Because I promise you, no matter how far you are, how far you've left Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you've gone into the world of haram, God's waiting for you. Allah's still there.
Yeah.
Allah's telling you, come back to me.
Yeah.
You know, they say, Habibi, come to Dubai. No. Mm-hmm. Habibi, come back to Allah, honestly. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bro, He loves you more than your mother or your father loves you.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that love? As a parent, there is nothing more dear to you than 100%. Your child. So imagine Allah's love being greater than your mother's
70 times
and your father's.
Yeah.
And He's closer to us than our jugular vein.
Yeah.
He tells us, take one step towards me, I take 10 towards you. Why else do we neglect Allah? And I think, you know, Ramadan is that month, Ahmed.
Yeah.
Where we improve not just our Quran recitations, not just our salah, but our akhlaq, our manners, our tongue, our eyes, our ears. Because if we think about it, on the day of judgment, we may fool ourselves in this world. And I think we have to think of it from here. Like, if we say, you know, I can do this, knowing God is watching, but we can get away with it, we're not fooling God. We're the fools.
Yeah.
Because, yes, we may not say on the day of judgment, we done this.
Yeah.
But there's going to come a time where your eyes is going to say, Sayyid Ali, your eyes saw this. Sayyid Ali, your eyes witnessed this.
They testify.
Your ears is going to testify. I listen to this, whether it's haram music, whether it's ghibah. Your feet, the most simplest thing. You know, I remember reading that the feet will bear witness to the places it stepped on, to the places it walked towards. And we can choose, either we can stand at the doorsteps of nightclubs.
Yeah.
We can choose to use our feet to walk towards concerts.
Yeah.
Things like this. Or bro, we can choose our feet going towards worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, going towards walking between Najaf and Karbala, whatever it is.
Standing for prayer.
Because wallah, we will need all our senses and all our limbs to testify in our favor.
Yeah, yeah.
On that day, the most difficult day, this is the month, we make sure that they testify that we truly worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So what are things that you do in Shahr Ramadan? Because there are things that I do, like, year on year, like things that I keep to myself or I have for myself that I think works for me. And I think for all of us, we should constantly be looking to develop those things, find new things that work. The way I find Shahr Ramadan to be the most beneficial is to implement something small and just keep it throughout the month.
Yeah.
So for example, even something that you maybe haven't done in previous years. So it could be something small. Well, maybe not for some people, but not eating your food until you've prayed, for argument's sake. So for a lot of us, we may eat before we pray, and some may pray before we eat.
Okay.
Yeah. So I find that when I pray before I eat, I can eat then more peacefully and more content, because I know I've done my duty to God in terms of breaking my fast, praying my salah, and then going for dinner. Do you know what I mean? So that's one thing small. Another thing I like to do is recite the Quran, especially after, I told you, in Ramadan, especially when I'm at home. After you pray Maghrib, you pray Isha, the Quran, or even between the Salah, the Quran, the Tasbihat, all of that stuff really, really helps me. There's so many small things as well that I love. I got introduced to, by my lovely wife, dates with yogurt. What do you call it? Tamar or roba. Like, just, I've never, ever in my life, bro, I've never experienced dates in yogurt. It was
a daily meal for my dad, like every time he gets home.
Does he have it as well?
Yeah.
It's like, bro, it's really nice. And I never thought it would be. So like, these are small things that make the month what it is. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Family time, where you go, what you do, how you pray, how you worship. Just making the most of it, enjoying it. Because this may be our last, and hopefully it's not. But what if it is? And you know, we cannot let that thought escape our minds. That we, you know, this may be our last time celebrating Wiladat Imam al-Hassan or Wafat Sayyidah Khadija or Shahadat Amir al-Mu'mineen or the Layal al-Qadr or whatever they are, that these are occasions which we cannot let pass by, basically. So it's about living in the moment, honestly speaking.
I think for me, Ahmed, if I can be true to myself when I say this, is that having gratitude, being thankful, being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the bounties and the blessings and the ni'am He has given us.
Yeah.
Like the most simplest thing, as you mentioned, for example, saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim before you eat. Saying Alhamdulillah for this food after we finish eating.
Yes, yes.
You know those small, small things.
Yeah, yeah. They go a long way.
It goes a long way
for you. The Fatiha for Marhameen.
Yeah, this makes you understand that life is not just about you.
Yeah.
It's about those around you, and there's a greater cause behind your life and purpose here on this earth.
Yeah. And I don't, sorry, Brian, I'm interrupting. I don't think that it's about the big things in life. I really don't. Like, it's, I think, not, when we die, I don't think we can be like, Ya Allah, I went Hajj, I did the big things. You know what I mean? I went Hajj, I got married, I had kids, khalas. Like, I did a good, no. Like, it's the small daily things. Like, I spent 20 seconds a day doing something small, or I spent a minute and a half today. Well, how long does it take to us to do Tasbih Fatima Zahra Salamullahi Alayha? Like doing the 33, you know, like that rigorous thing that we have now.
It'll take about 2 minutes.
It takes 2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
But now we do it, most of us, between our salah or after each salah. Like, great, amazing. You can do it on your fingers. It takes a couple of minutes, yeah? But that's a small act of service, act of gratitude, act of sacrifice. But those small things will go a long way. And if there's a time you do it, it's now.
It's definitely now. Definitely now.
Can I ask you something else?
Go on.
All right. Even Mushtaba, I'll ask you.
Yeah.
Content. Ramadan content.
Ooh.
What do you like to watch? What do you like to listen to? Do you consume content? Do you put aside? Because I know guys who don't watch TV at all, won't listen to podcasts. And I know guys who will consume as much content as they can.
Ramadan is a month where my wife will testify that I can listen to about 3 to 4 lectures a day.
Wow.
And 5 episodes of Bab al-Harra.
Five episodes of what?
Bab al-Hara. Some Arabic drama series from back in the day. But this is content that I'm very interested in. Yeah. Because normally Ramadan content, bro, it's like
proper uplifting.
The peak of eloquence. Yeah, we can say it when it comes to the delivery and the content of the lectures itself, but mainly in the Arabic language. So I listen, for example, to Sheikh Abdul Hamid al-Muhajir. I would listen to old lectures by al-Marhum Sayyid Muhammad Rida Shirazi, Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Fali, rahmatullah alayhi as well. And there are many, many, many others. I prefer the Arabic language when it comes to, for example, like Ramadan, Muharram. I attend English. I'm a big fan of English,
yeah.
FYI. But that's the main things I consume in terms of content during the holy month. Apart from that, I don't know what I'm
watching. About you, Moj?
Come back to me, I don't know. Do you first.
That was the wrong answer.
Yeah.
Mushtaba consumes Ahl al-Bayt TV, inshallah. If it's not Ahl al-Bayt TV, I'll be worried.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of Ahl al-Bayt TV, obviously this is a big month for the channel.
Yes.
As it is every year, of course. And there's a lot happening. There's some amazing fundraisers with the Hope Appeal. There's live shows with special guests before and after Maghrib, no pun intended. So stay tuned on that. And obviously there's the ongoing campaign to bring the four channels to you guys, which is pretty cool. So look into that on ahlulbayt.co.uk. I don't want to get too much into that, but yeah, this is how you make your Ramadan special, is by making other people's Ramadan special. That's by giving to charity and giving people the gift of wilaya, and that is through media. People in parts of the world who can't usually reach this information, access this information, finds it through access through television and YouTube and media, which comes from you, brothers and sisters. It comes from you. So supporting those causes, in my humble opinion, is as important as many other causes that we see on YouTube adverts and TV adverts and social media adverts.
By the way, when it comes to supporting, if you look at your screen behind you.
Sick. Oh wow. Yes.
Zoom what does that tell you?
Which of us taken off to the members? Oi,
oi, oi, oi, oi, oi, mandem.
I've missed it.
Watch time from the last. What is that?
What's going
one
on?
1 year. 1 year. That's not bad.
That's
actually.
Time. That's how many people? How many of our viewers have subscribed?
Bro, that's not bad compared to other channels, but still not good enough.
No, basically, what Mushtaba is telling us, the people consuming our content, the majority of them have not subscribed. So, what do you tell them, Ahmed?
When you're talking about
smash that subscribe button.
Smash that subscribe
button. You're talking about support, supporting doesn't mean you have to donate.
Yeah,
go and subscribe to After Maghrib.
Subscribe to After Maghrib. Subscribe to ABTV. There's a lot of amazing media projects out there, but what's the point if you're not subscribed? So what do you do, Sayed?
You smash that subscribe button.
Give me a demonstration. Thank you very much.
And honestly, if you have love for Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, I'm saying this from the heart, and inshallah enters your heart. If you have love for Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, smash that subscribe.
You know, I said that to someone recently. On a different context, actually, I was with you when I said it to someone else.
That means we're going to gain thousands tonight.
Inshallah. I said that to someone. I was like, for the sake of your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do this. I said that in front of you to someone else.
Okay.
Another person came, and afterwards he told me, he goes, you shouldn't say that. Someone else told me. And he's my elder, and I respect him and whatnot. So I took it on board. So I said, why? He goes, you can't put them on the spot. And so you must do this if you love God, which I don't think I said, but nonetheless, you know, it's interesting.
Brothers, sisters, this was just a way to encourage you.
Inshallah, smash
that subscribe button. But also, if you're not watching on YouTube, you're probably listening on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, follow the podcast.
Yes.
On the note of media, I think, and Ahl al-Bayt TV and stuff, we're working on a quiz show.
Yeah.
If you're watching this on Thursday, you should see the promo hopefully in the next few days, if everything goes to plan. And I think it's something that the viewers will enjoy.
It's going to be crazy. It's going to be really, really cool.
Yeah.
So it's a quiz show for the children.
Youth. No, it's for the same. It's the same audience as the podcast.
Oh, it's the same audience. Okay, cool. So you guys will love it.
You will love it. So this is Ahl al-Bayt TV's
quiz show
for this year's Ramadan.
Most nights of Ramadan, you'll find it after Maghrib live on TV, yeah.
And you can see, obviously, there's some props. Well, you can't see, but there's props around the studio.
How can they watch the quiz show?
On Ahlul Bayt TV.
How can they access Ahlul Bayt TV?
Amazon Fire Stick, Google Chromecast.
If you've got an Android TV of any sort, Sony TV, you could download the app, Roku TV, you could download the app. Or most Ramadan programs are normally live on YouTube. So if you're subscribed to Ahlul Bayt TV on YouTube.
I love that.
Bro, yeah, when we talk about content, there's like a variety of content. You want lectures, you've got channels like ABTV or whatever. And
we've got loads planned this year. I think there's a lecture series planned, a live interactive show with scholars planned.
It's very, very,
Quran
very exciting.
Show planned.
Spiritual conversations with scholars, Quran nights, quiz shows, the podcast, Jum'ah nights. I know you want to say something about Jum'ah nights before we wrap up. You said before the pod.
Sayyid Ali's been binge watching like it's Netflix. Know,
Jum'ah nights, it's the best alternative to the chaos that happens at Speaker's Corner, because you truly you understand the Shi'i perspective and point
of
view.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with
without
that.
Without interference.
But it's way more than that.
Without madness.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. No, it's a high level of intellect as well.
Of course.
Because those guys in those environments who are debating outdoors, they are like low quality.
I just said it's the alternative.
It's bro, it's better than
I didn't say it's the same.
It's like having a
Shi'as, what have you done?
Yeah, literally. It's like having a protein
don't
shake.
Don't start with Shamsi. Ramadan's coming, please.
Honestly.
I don't know how they call him, sunshine.
It's like eating grass and then saying, yeah, a salad is an alternative to grass. Yeah, they're both green.
Okay, would you rather be vegetarian or vegan? If that's the route you're taking.
neither. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, probably vegetarian.
Alhamdulillah.
I think quickly, let's go back on topic. What's one thing you know about yourself that you want to change before you finish Ramadan?
Oh, mine is very personal.
I don't know if I can answer that.
We asked this last year, I think, and Ahmed said it was personal as well last year.
Yeah.
Some things are best kept between you and Allah.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's got something that they know.
So would you say if there's one thing on your mind, change it before the end of Ramadan?
Not changing. There's definitely things that I think I would improve, which may not necessarily be like sins, but things that I want to constantly work on or revisit when it comes to Ramadan. At a time like Ramadan, I mentioned family earlier.
Yeah.
So family for me, and when I say family, I don't just mean my immediate family, my spouse, my kids, my parents, my siblings. I mean like my close friends and family, you guys, people I love, people around me. We're just trying to build on that. But obviously I have personal ones which I want to fix.
Inshallah.
So if Mushtaba turns off the microphone, would you still share it or no?
Go on, bro.
Keep it on.
What is it?
No. I said the Mushtaba.
Oh, you mean for me? For
yeah,
me?
Yeah, yeah.
No, bro. I'm waiting for yours.
Khalas. You're going to smash this. I'm going to smash this.
Yeah, bro. It's so aesthetically pleasing. Yeah.
I genuinely don't know, Sayyid Mushtaba. Okay. I think perhaps if this question is asked in a week or two's time,
yes,
maybe I would know better. I think.
Yeah.
I think it's a little too early. A little too early for me.
I want to do my amal really, really nicely this year, inshallah.
Yeah.
I remember last year we had shows, fundraising shows. So I remember it was amazing because you're serving, you're raising funds on the same night. I remember I was with Sayyid Jalal and Mullah Nizar and like some amazing guests who we had on the fundraising shows at ABTV last year. And I remember we'd do a show, I'd rush home, do amal for 2-3 hours, like barely have time to eat anything, and then rush back to do another show by Fajr time. It was hectic. So this year, inshallah, if I have the opportunity to, I will. And I have some plans with Ahlul Bayt TV as well to visit different centers. So you may see me around the UK, inshallah. But yeah, amal nights, I really want to make the most of them for sure.
You know, last year, I went to Al Khoui Foundation. There was Amal being arranged by the brothers at Al Akbar Foundation, who were holding it at Al Khoui Foundation here in London. And they bring a beautiful voice from the Khalij. And I truly felt something I've never felt when it comes to Amal.
Remind me his name.
I can't remember
is
his
it
name.
Mustafa also?
I'm doing injustice here now. Maybe Mushtaba can search his name
I'll
up.
Pull it
out for you. I will mention.
Mushtaba Kashmiri?
No. He was a reciter. He was a dua reciter from Saudi, I believe.
Something like that. It's definitely a
Murtaza name. Murtaza something. Murtaza something. Masal Murtaza Kashmiri.
Is it?
No.
But my point was, like, being there for the entire...
Who's Murtaza Kashmiri? Why am I saying that?
It sounds like one of the representatives.
Al-Qari Murtaza. You're close. Murtaza Quraysh.
Quraysh.
Murtaza Quraysh.
May Allah bless him. Yeah.
Murtaza Quraysh.
Truly, yeah. And he ranked tears to the eyes.
Yeah, beautiful voice, mashallah.
Wallah al-Azim. Yeah, the point I was going to say is that being in an environment where there is community, everyone doing a'mal together was it felt like so powerful. And it made you understand and appreciate what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says when he speaks about ummah. Yeah. Congregation, all of this, and it was beautiful to be part.
Yeah, jama'ah is something powerful.
It's different.
This is so mustahab, so mustahab. The salah, the Quran, even in like a jalsa, you recite together, and the amal together in our communities. Well, I say our, I mean the community I grew up in, the mosque I grew up in. Amal, at mosque, is like. Expected, do you know what I mean?
I used to love Amal when I was a kid.
Yeah, means you used to love it.
It means I get to stay up late.
Oh, nah, bro. I used to wait for it to end. I'll be honest. When I was young, I'm talking 10, 12, whatever years old.
Yeah.
It's long. I was like, it was long.
We used to get home after Fajr.
Really? That long? Yeah, nah, yeah, for us, it was tight, squeeze, you're on the carpet.
Because the center will like prepare the Amal.
Yeah.
All the way till just before Imsak. We have
you know what is with us as well. With the Karbalai centers, they squeeze in as much Latam as well as they can.
Shout out.
Before the A'mal.
Said I was going to mention Latam sessions, but I said they planned the
A'mal to finish. You know, when I thought of A'mal, I didn't even think of Latam because you're talking about Shahadat at the same time. I think I've got a really good question, but we'll probably save it for then. Is how do you approach Shahadat nights? Do you do A'mal and then Latam? Do you do Latam then A'mal? Are you thinking of it as a Shahadat night or an A'mal night? Or is it both or it's neither? Both.
It's definitely both.
It's one and the same.
Ahsant.
Quran and Ahlul Bayt are hand in hand.
Ahsant.
They can't be separated.
Ahsant.
Mina mu'mini Quran and Natiq. He's Shaheed on Laylatul Qadr. Like I've spent like 2-3 years trying to come up to this. Like, you know, how do I balance it, this, that? Because there are centers that do matam heavy and then they'll do amal and some won't and some will. But in my mind, it's like you are doing khidmah and you're doing ibadah basically both ways. You're doing your masaib and you're crying and you're doing your amal. You're serving the Ahlul Bayt, you're serving the Quran, you're both serving God.
Bro, Imam Ali truly is the thaqalain.
Yeah.
Like without a joke, yani, now that you mentioned that, you know, so because you asked me, you know, can you have that and that, or do you separate them? Do you put them together? They are truly both.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean that. And I say that not just as a Shia, as someone who has understood Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Imam Ali.
Yeah.
I genuinely think it's difficult for a human being to understand God without knowing what Amir al-Mu'mineen says about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we always get this, I'm not even going to call it a misconception. There's just have to say every trolls. Time just to, I don't know, push a few buttons.
TikTok haters
where, you know, we only mention Amir al-Mu'mineen and we always leave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bro, come to a Shia center during the nights of Qadr.
We're whatever, half an hour in, we've now mentioned Imam Ali. How many times have we talked about God before this?
Ahsant.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but what my point being is, and you're right in the same way, you can't separate the Quran and as much as this is the month of the Holy Quran, the revelation. أنزل فيه القرآن, you know, but along with that, the Ahlul Bayt are planted in various points of the month, not by coincidence. This is the divine wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Ahlul Bayt are in every stage of this month. Every 3, 4, 5 days of this month, you are commemorating or celebrating. Do you see what I mean? And that's very, very, very important for us to recognize. There's no coincidence here when it comes to that. They are one and the same with the Quran. And by doing your service to God through recitation of the Quran, or whether it's attending a majlis for Shahadat of Imam Ali or Wiladat of Imam Hassan or whatever it is, alayhim as-salam, you are in both cases doing ibadah. And if everything comes back to the holy awaited Imam, how will he lead a'mal? How will he lead the congregation at the time of Maghrib, from Iftar and Salah and all of that, up until the time of Fajr? Like, what will he do? Obviously, no one knows, But we know that he will be doing the same things we are doing in a core respect, the Quran, the dua, the commemoration, the reflection, the education of the community, you know.
And inshallah, we live to see that day.
Inshallah, inshallah, yeah. Inshallah.
With our own eyes, witnessing it, inshallah. Being part of
what a that feeling that would be, breaking fast with the Holy
Congregation Imam. Behind the Imam of our side.
Yeah, bro. Dates and Roba.
It's dates and Roba, with yeah.
Honestly.
Do you know every time you say Roba, I remember the southerners of Iraq. Normally, the people from Junub use that word.
What? Do you not say it, Roba?
We use it sometimes, but normally we refer to it as Liban.
Liban.
Yeah. On its own. Obviously, like the thick yogurt is Lebanon and stuff like that. So
yeah.
It's got different terms Roba. Here and there, but all means the same thing. But speaking about Imam Ali.
I get that from your family, Ahmed. From your dad.
Roba. From my wife.
Really?
But she's Halawi.
Ah.
So I don't know.
Your dad from being from Basra would say Roba.
Nah.
You know, you spoke about Imam Ali, and I think, let me just drop a few bars. Shall I?
Go on, bro.
Yeah, Ali.
Not reciting, just a few words of poetry.
Ali,
where do I begin? For without you, there is nothing.
No, you're trying to say, Ali, where do I begin when mentioning him has no end? That's what you're trying to say, right?
Sadar, 101.
But the words that come to mind is, his name is sweet on the tongue. His dhikr expands the lung.
Oof.
Can't think of anything else now. Wait, hang on. To the city of knowledge, Muhammad would acknowledge that to enter my city, you enter it through Ali. And I'll leave it there as a cliffhanger. I'll finish it off later, inshallah.
Okay, fine.
I'm just testing.
His praises you sung through the air of your lungs.
Allah. Aye.
For Ali, we run. And I don't know, bro. I think. For Ali, we run, and the end is only fun. I don't know.
That's so true.
You're going to make this into a segment of the podcast.
That's so true. Honestly, brother. Yalla, guys, we'll leave it there. It's been a very nice conversation. Said Ali, Ramadan Mubarak ahead of time.
Ramadan Kareem to
I'm
you.
I'm actually traveling.
And your family.
Thank you, Habibi. I'm traveling in the first few days of Ramadan, inshallah. So pray for me, inshallah, goes well. So I won't see you, unfortunately, for a few days. So
we'll stay in contact.
Yeah, inshallah.
Inshallah.
We'll video call you. But I'm going to be 5 hours behind you. Yeah. So, bro, you're going to be munching and I'll be there.
Just make sure it's after Maghrib.
Yeah. We'll do that. All right, guys. No, we'll be in touch, inshallah. We'll stay in touch on the Instagram channel. So make sure you're there. We're nearly 1,000 followers. Make sure you subscribe. Smash that subscribe button. And on top of that, as always, we always say we need your suggestions, your topic suggestions, your ideas. We have a really exciting couple of weeks planned. So inshallah, next week, just to give you a bit of a taster, we are talking about passion, purpose, resistance, and basically reaching one's potential Ramadan through resistance. I think that's a really cool and understanding one's purpose, which is different. We've never had this conversation. We've done 80 something podcasts. That's a really cool one. And the week after is a fascinating conversation with a great guest as well. I don't want to spoil that for you. So we've got a good few segments lined up. So stay in touch with us. We're also going to be at an event, inshallah, later in Ramadan, a live event at Hujjat Stamwell in Northwest London. So you'll see that as well on Instagram. Anything else, Sid? Any last minute notices?
Is Stanmore really Northwest London?
I would.
Yeah.
I think you said pretty much everything. But I would say, don't let this month go to vain.
Yeah.
Prepare yourself and prepare your family.
Yeah.
And prepare the friends you're with. Let them know that, you know, you can't go to certain places. You can't eat at certain times. You need time away at certain times of the day.
Yeah.
Where you need to, whether it's pray or to break fast or things like this. And inshallah, you can encourage them.
I like that.
To bring them towards Islam.
Sometimes, Sayyid, we feel embarrassed. Sorry to interrupt, but sometimes we feel embarrassed.
I thought this was the outro.
There is the outro, but it's like a comment on this I just want to make. Sometimes we feel embarrassed to express our faith, especially around people who are not used to seeing that from us. So for example, if, let's say for argument's sake, if I don't like to pray in front of people, or if I don't like to pray on time, or if I don't like to, or if I know my family are gathering to eat iftar, and then later they might pray.
It's a challenge.
It's a challenge to be the odd one out and to say, no, I'm going to join you guys later. You start food if you want to start. I'm going to go pray. It might make you feel uncomfortable, but don't feel that hesitation, because that sacrifice is worth it. You'll feel better about yourself. Your family might respect you more, or I say family, it could be anyone, any environment you're in. But the people you are with may respect you more because they see you taking a step, and it may be a reminder to them. Allah may have sent you as a reminder to them to take it more seriously. And it can be in any scenario. It can be in your workplace. It can be when someone offers you a drink and you say, no, I'm fasting. I'm sorry, I can't today. You know, those kind of small instances are what defines us and our character in this holy month.
Beautiful.
So we have to recognize that. We have to recognize that stepping outside of your comfort zone is how you grow. You will never grow within your comfort zone. It is outside of the comfort zone which we achieve growth. Anyone who's achieved growth of any sort has done it through stepping outside of their comfort zone and exploring areas of the unknown and uncertainty. That's how we achieve growth.
And stepping out of that comfort zone should become your comfort zone.
Yeah, you expand that comfort zone. It should
become the norm.
Yeah.
And inshallah, we always work towards increasing our rewards, because those rewards are going to take us to Jannah. And when we do get to Jannah, don't you want to see Amir al-Mu'mineen?
Hasad.
Don't you want to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Yani, that's our destination, Ahmed. And we always speak about this off the podcast. Our destination is Jannah, and inshallah, this month will take us there.
So Ali is the captain of the train. Inshallah. Oh. All right, guys.
Ahmed is the engine.
Habib. All right, bro. We will see you next week, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Take care, man.
Ramadan Kareem in advance. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.